Well, it's been a fun morning. Now we're getting into the scripture, and I got to warn you, this one's a little hard. So we've had a lot of fun, had a lot of joy, and now we're going to get into one of the more challenging passages of scripture where, Jesus gives us kind of some direct talk that we need to hear. And so if you open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 9, we're going to be taking a look at verses 57 through 62. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to
God. You know, I'll never forget the first time that I saw something in 3D. I was at Disney World and I went to go see the Muppets. The Muppet in 3D, and I remember just being amazed by it. I mean, they gave us those goofy-looking glasses, and if you've ever been there, there was this little bird, and it always looked like it was right in front of your face, so close that you could reach out and touch it. And if you looked at everybody in the theater, that's what everybody was doing. They were reaching out, trying to touch it, and then there would be a little explosion, and bricks would come flying at you, and it looked like they were going to hit you in the head, and water would be squirted, and I know this wasn't part of the 3D, but it looked like it was coming right at you, and then they sprayed you with water right as that was happening. But it was so neat, especially if you've never experienced anything like that. But if you're like me, you just had to see what it would look like without those glasses. And so you lift them up a little and you look, and lo and behold, everything got all blurry. You know, what was at for a second all crystal clear right in front of you and jumping off the screen, now all of a sudden just looked terrible without those special glasses. And I share that with you, and once you put those glasses back on, everything looked great again. I share that with you because that can happen to us when we're reading the scriptures. Except instead of 3D glasses, we need the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that opens our eyes and helps us to see, especially the meaning behind a passage like this. I mean, this passage, if you look at it on the surface, if you look at it without the aid of the Holy Spirit and without those kind of spiritual glasses on, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I mean, you've got three people, and the first one, he is excited to follow Jesus. Doesn't it seem like it? As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I'll follow you wherever you go." Amen. Isn't that what we want to hear everybody say at church? "I'll follow you wherever you go." And yet Jesus, look at his reply. "Foxes have dens, birds have nests, but I have no place to lay my head." Now, doesn't that seem awfully strange? And what about the second man? The second man, Jesus invites him, "Come, follow me." And he says, "First, let me go bury my dad." That seems like a reasonable request. And look at Jesus' reply. "Let the dead bury the dead." What on earth kind of reply is that? I mean, doesn't that seem harsh? Doesn't that seem out of character for Jesus? Why wouldn't Jesus let this man go bury his dead father? And then you've got the third man. The third man says, "I just want to go back and say goodbye to everybody. I just want to get my affairs in order, then I'll come follow you." And Jesus says, "Anyone who sticks their hands to the plow and looks back is unfit for service in the kingdom of God." Now, wouldn't we all, if we were about to make a life-changing decision, leave what we had always known, leave the town, leave the community, wouldn't we want to go say goodbye? And yet Jesus says, "No. No." And so the question is, why? Why would Jesus respond to each of these three men in this way? And if you don't put on your spiritual glasses and you look at it just on the surface, It just doesn't make any sense. But what Jesus is showing us here is the true nature of the kingdom of God and of salvation and what it means to be a Christian. And so within each of these characters, there's something much deeper going on. How do we know? Because Jesus knows their heart. He knows each of their hearts. And he knows what is holding each of them back. And we're going to see that in the heart of this. And so let's take a look at it together. The kingdom of God, the first thing we see is that the kingdom of God requires more than your enthusiasm and ideals. Hear that again. The kingdom of God requires more than your enthusiasm and your ideals. That's what this man had. He was full of enthusiasm. He was full of ideals. He was ready to come and to serve. I mean, think about what had just happened in Luke chapter 9. If you go back to the very beginning of it, there's a lot going on. Jesus had commissioned the disciples. He had sent them out in pairs. They were doing healings and casting out demons and sharing the good news. And then the thousands had been fed. Jesus had cast out a demon that no one else could cast out. Jesus had went up on the mountain and had been transfigured. I mean, a lot is going on top of the normal teaching that Jesus was doing in everywhere that he walked and traveled to. And this guy, he started to say, hey, I want to follow this man. This man's a little different from every other man who has come. And so I'm ready to follow him. I'm ready to go where he'll go. I'm ready to be with him because look at the fanfare. Look at everybody who's here. I'm ready and I'm enthusiastic and I'm here to follow him. But what did Jesus see? Jesus knew his motivations. Jesus knew his heart. And Jesus knew that this man, while he might be ready to follow Jesus the man, he didn't really know much about Jesus the Son of Man, who was the Son of God. And he was ready to follow him. He was ready to serve him. Because he thought it was going to be a blessing to him to do so. But notice Jesus' response. The foxes have dens. The birds have nests. But I have nowhere to lay my head. What is he saying? If you want to follow me, it's not going to be easy. He had already said this about 20 verses prior. He said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. He had said, I'm going to die over and over and over again. He said it in this chapter, and yet nobody was listening. Everybody thought that he was going to come and he was going to set up this earthly kingdom and take control and be a ruler. And Jesus said, no. I can see why you're enthusiastic about that. I can see all your ideals when it comes to that, but that is not why I'm here at all. I'm not here to clean up this physical world. I'm here to redeem all of humanity and prepare them for the spiritual world. I'm here to die for them so that they might have life for all eternity, not to set up an earthly kingdom to make their lives easier here. You see, to follow Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, one has to be willing to lose everything the world has to offer. It's different in his kingdom. In this kingdom, Christ is the beginning of a new race. Hebrews calls him the second Adam, the new Adam. He has restored everything. We are a new creation in him. Everyone who is born again is a part of a new race with a new home, with a new ruler. And that doesn't mean that things are going to be easy in this physical world. I can attest to that in my own life. I shared with a few people, the enemy's been coming after me quite a bit. I think in the span of 2 weeks, really if you span it out about 4 weeks, I broke this finger. I wasn't trying to stick up my bad finger, but you can still see it's black. I broke this finger. I got a splinter in one foot. My sandal broke as I was walking upstairs, scraped my other foot, and got a blister in it about the size of a quarter, and the air conditioning in my car went out. Now, that's not a great week, is it? Not a great 2 or 3 weeks. This life isn't going to be easy, but I'm not made for this life. I'm made for the next one. I'm made for the spiritual kingdom. I'm a part of a new race. Now, here's the hard part for us. In this kingdom, Christ requires you to be a new person. You see, not just anybody can be a part of this new race. What does he tell Nicodemus in John, the 3rd chapter? You must be born again. You must be born anew. You must be born in the Spirit. And until that happens, so there's a new race and a new person, until that happens, you can't be a part of this kingdom. So here he's telling this man, even in the title, Son of Man, that there is a new thing going on here. And if you want to be a part of this new thing, it's not about setting up an earthly kingdom. I'm setting up a spiritual kingdom. And if you want to be a part of that, then you have to become a spiritual being. And then, of course, in this kingdom, Christ sets the standards for your new responsibilities. What did Christ say? I have come not to be served, but to serve. I have come to give up my life so that you might have life and have it abundantly. Those are our standards. So here he's saying to this man, look, you think you're full of enthusiasm, but let me tell you, this isn't no picnic. We're about to have a picnic. I love picnics. Following Jesus Christ isn't a picnic. It's challenging. Why? Because the world, they're not interested in following Christ. And it's going to put you at odds with the world. It's going to put you at odds with friends. That's why when Jesus' family came to him and they were telling him, grab a hold of him. He needs to come in and eat. He's doing too much. And Jesus said, who is my family? It's not those who are physically my family. It's those who have been born again, who do the will of my Father. It puts you at odds with the spiritual, with the people who are physically minded. I guarantee you, if you took seriously the Great Commission, if you take that seriously and you go and you tell people the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere you go, you will stand out. You will stand out. You will rub certain people the wrong way. People will not like it. If you focus on what that which is above and not that which is below with your priorities, with your time, with your money, with your talents, with your resources, if you go all in when it comes to the kingdom of God, you're going to face challenges and you're going to face struggles. And that's what Jesus is trying to get clear to this young man who is all enthusiastically ready to follow him. Jesus says, I need more than your enthusiasm. I need more than your ideals. The next thing we see is that the kingdom of God requires your urgency, not your excuses. Let's look at the second man. The second man has a different problem. He knows well that to follow Jesus is the right thing. There's little doubt in his mind. He thinks that he's heard what Jesus had to say. He's considered it, and he wants to follow him. But he says, but first let me go back and bury my father. Now, I'm a little skeptical that his father even needs burying. Martin Lloyd-Jones seemed to think so too. He said, and he, if you don't know who he is, he's one of the more famous preachers, of the last century. And he said, you know, if that were truly the case, then the standard custom of the day would have been, instead of him being out on the road following Jesus, he would have stayed close to home and he would have been with his father who was about to die. He would have been there. He would have been walking with him. He would have been staying with him. He would have been caring for him. And then after all that was settled, he would have come follow Jesus. But instead, he senses the Lord calling him to make a decision. And he says, well, first I need to go do this. It just happens to be the burial of his father. And it's his excuse for not committing to Christ. It's his reason to not deal with the matter at hand urgency. What is the matter at hand? He is a lost sinner who, unless he commits his life to Jesus Christ, is destined for eternity in hell. That is what is at stake. Now, I don't know about you, but when I found out that I was a lost sinner and I truly discovered what that meant, I didn't need a week to decide. I didn't need a moment to decide. I wanted to become a Christian right then and right there and accept Jesus Christ with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength as best I knew how. I was urgently under conviction. Here you got somebody saying, well, maybe in a little while. Maybe after I do this, I'll come follow you. How many of us have made those type of excuses? Maybe not with your salvation. Maybe you have. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't been born again because you've been making excuses. Or maybe it's less about your salvation and it's more about being obedient and walking with Christ and following him and your sanctification in Christ. And you've been slow to do the things that you know God's calling you to do because you're filled with excuses rather than having a sense of urgency. My friends, Jesus Christ could come today, or he might not come for 100 years. I don't know. But I'll tell you this, we are clearly commanded in Scripture to be prepared for his coming. And that means right here and right now. Are you prepared for that? Do you feel that urgent about following Christ? Do you feel that urgent about sharing the gospel with the lost? If you don't, what is holding you back? Because I'll tell you, if you're holding back, then maybe you can relate to this man who his father just happens to be the excuse of why he's not going to follow Jesus. Jesus knows his heart. If his intent was truly, I need to go bury my dad and then I'll be right back, Jesus would say, well, of course. Jesus tells us to honor our father and mothers, not to disrespect them. So of course Jesus would want him to do that. But Jesus knows his heart. And by this reply from Christ, we know that that is not this man's heart. You see, it's amazing to see the reasons people give to justify their refusal to follow Jesus Christ. Every justification is born out of a desire to find life and meaning in the physical world. That's what it's all about. Rather than commit to the spiritual, they're going to stay in the physical. Rather than figure out what God wants to do within them intrinsically, they want to focus on the things extrinsically around them and completely ignore what the kingdom of God is truly about. So what is your excuse? What is my excuse? Are you too busy? Do you want to take time to find a little more enjoyment? Do you want to wait until you're a little older? Do you desire to have a little more success? Jesus says to each and every one of these, come now. Let the dead bury the dead. Let the people who are dying in their sin, who are refusing to follow me, let them take care of each other. You come and you follow me. You come with that new life as a part of this new race with a new family. And let us walk this journey together. You know, St. Augustine knew all about this. I learned this from a book by Martin Lloyd-Jones, and he talks about St. Augustine, and he said, here's a prayer that is attributed to him. Yes, of course, that is really what I must do. I must come and follow Jesus, but not yet. St. Augustine said this after hearing from the great preacher Ambrose about the being a sinner who's in need of grace. And St. Augustine was hesitant. He said, yes, I know he's right, but not yet. I want to be good, but not yet. What was holding him back? He was living with his mistress. And he wasn't ready to let her go. What's holding you back? What's holding you back from feeling, from urgently responding to the calling that God has on your life? And that leads us to our last thought. The kingdom of God requires your undivided interest and complete loyalty. The kingdom of God requires your undivided attention, or interest rather, and complete loyalty. Here we have this third man. He's interested in following Jesus. He says, "I will come follow you." But notice his words. "But first let me go back and let me say goodbye to my family." You know, his language, our translations don't really do it justice. His language is more, not just let me go back and say goodbye to my family, but let me get some things in order. Let me tarry there a little while. Let me make sure that everything's right before I come and before I follow you. And what Jesus sensed in him was a divided heart, was one who wanted it both ways. He wanted Jesus, but he wanted the world too. And Jesus says, no, that is not how it works. If you put your hand to the plow and look back, put your hand to the plow and look back, you are unfit for service in the kingdom of God. You want to know what's wrong with a lot of our churches and a lot of Christianity in the world? We are putting our hands to the plow and we are looking back. We are so caught up in what the world's doing and wanting to partner with it and wanting to fit in with it instead of just focusing on the kingdom of God and that alone and letting Christ do his work in us and through us. And when we do that, then we're a lot like Lot's wife. You remember her story? They were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, and she did the one thing that they weren't supposed to do. Do you remember what it was? She looked back. She looked back. And immediately, she died. I want you to know it's a dangerous thing for the Christian to look back. It's a dangerous thing to look back to our former worldly pleasures, our worldly entanglements, and to dabble in them. Because we put ourselves at great risk. And we make ourselves unfit for service in the kingdom of God. You can't have two masters, Jesus Christ said. You will hate the one as you serve the other. You can't serve both God and money. You see, when we make the choice to follow Jesus and join the kingdom of God, we develop new values and a new mission. And I want to leave you with three things real quick that'll help you to do that. The first one is this: value the change Jesus is bringing to your heart. Value the change Jesus is bringing to your heart. Right now, you are a new creation. If you've been born again, you are a new creation in Christ, and you have been redeemed, you have been set right, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit, you are His for all eternity, but that doesn't mean your heart has been all cleaned up and is right in every single way. No, you still got hurts and bumps and bruises, and you're still drawn into temptation. And that purification, if you don't value it, you'll lose sight of it. And you'll focus on what's going on the outside than what's going on the inside. And Jesus can't do a great work through you until he's done a great work in you. Value the change Jesus is bringing to your heart. Make it a priority each day. Make it a part of your time. Make it a part of your talents. Make it a part. Look, spend time in the Word of God. Spend time in prayer. Make sure you're listening to what God wants to reveal to you. Secondly, commit to the Lordship of Christ in everything. Commit to the Lordship of Christ in everything. If you are a part of the new kingdom, if you have been redeemed and you have been bought with a price, what are we told? Your life is no longer your own. Do you live like that? Is Christ your ruler? Is he in charge of your time? Is he in charge of your vocation? Is he in charge of your ethics, what you decide to be good and right? or are you? Commit to the Lordship of Christ. And thirdly, prize your opportunities to share the good news. My friends, the world around us is dying. And I'm not talking about the physical world. Well, I am partly talking about the physical world, but it's dying physically because it's dying spiritually. People are broken inside. People are wounded inside. People are on their way to hell. Do we care about that? Does that matter? Are we going to prize the opportunities we have to share the good news with people? Or are we just going to let them perish? Are we going to let people we know, people we love, not spend eternity with Christ because for whatever reason we're too afraid to tell them about Jesus? The kingdom of God. This passage, we've got to have those spiritual glasses on. It's not about the dead burying the dead in the physical sense. It's about the dead burying the dead in the spiritual sense. Let them keep chasing after the world. We're going to chase after the one who's greater than the world. And we're going to invite each and every person to join us in that pursuit. Let us pray. Almighty God, we know what it's like to be conflicted. We know what it's like to be that man, to believe that, you know, if we would just follow you and be committed to you, then things will go well for us. But Lord, help us to remember that you make no promise of a life free from persecution, of a life free from trials of tribulation. That is nowhere found in your word. Help us not to buy into the lies of the enemy that committing to you won't sometimes put us at odds with the world. And Lord, we know what it's like to be that second man who is ready to follow you, but really still has some things that we feel like we need to take care of, and we put off making that decision because we don't feel urgent about it, and we put off sharing the gospel because we don't feel urgent about it. Lord, forgive us for that. And Lord, of course, that third man, how much time do we spend looking back? Lord, you've called us to look forward. You've called us to put our hand to the plow and to plow up our hearts, to allow you to do that work and to allow us to be your hands and your feet and make a difference for the kingdom of God. But we can't do that if we're trying to balance both worlds. Otherwise, we're like somebody who's tossed to and fro by every change of the wind. Lord, we don't want to live like that. We want to live with you, single-minded, purposeful, intentional, as we trust you and follow your rule and your lead. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Michael's about to come forward and lead us in our closing hymn. I know that text is pretty hard. It was pretty hard on me dealing with it all week. Y'all just got it today. I've been wrestling with it all week long, being under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, the Lord showing me ways in my life where maybe I'm spending a little too much time looking back, or maybe I'm making excuses as to why I'm not being obedient the way that he is calling me to. And a passage like that, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. The question is, are we listening? If the Holy Spirit's laying anything on your heart this morning, I invite you to come down to this altar. Come down to this altar and begin that process. Make that first step toward committing your life to him and following him with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength, completely his, being completely his. That is the invitation this morning, coming to follow Jesus. Don't let your heart be divided anymore. Don't try and look back. Don't try and make an excuse. Respond to the leading of the Holy Spirit where he might be calling you this morning.